Wednesday afternoon at exactly 1:01 p.m. and I am here with Esther. Maria.
Or I'm not Esther.
That's not Esther.
We're going to do a little magic trick about halfway through this show and switch out Standia for Esther.
We do culture and magic.
There you go. So, yeah, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Semester's almost done. Campus gets a certain, like, excited air when the semester's almost finished. Does anyone... Like, it's just like everyone feels happy, mm-hmm. and then people are saying goodbye. So there's like if you've ever felt like, oh, that person is annoying. I don't feel that way about people. But if you ever have felt that way about people, then when they're leaving, you're like, oh, I like you. So there's a certain sense of happiness and joy on campus.
Yeah, especially with assignments being almost done. And it's like next week is the finish line and the silver line is right there.
Everyone's happy. Yeah. We should say who you are. So I'm Maria.
I'm Standia.
And there's Standia with me, my co-host, until Esther arrives. The magic trick.
Yes.
She's not arriving. I'm doing a magic trick.
Yes.
Yeah. So April and now May the 1st is busy, busy time on campus.
Definitely.
But also a happy time. And Sophie, you're getting ready to leave.
Yes. I'm going to stay a little bit longer for graduation. And then I'm going to visit a friend in Louisville who just came back from a semester abroad. So.
And then you head off into the brave world
of
adulthood.
Oh, no, I still have a year.
Oh, that's right.
Maria, I'm out here still.
Aww.
Don't get me wrong.
That's embarrassing.
Are you kicking me out?
Edit that out of the show. Why did I think you were graduating? I thought we were losing you.
Mm-mm.
I can't keep
so
track
mature.
Of all these people.
She's
because you're so mature.
No,
it
really
you're
is.
You're so mature.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, mm-hmm, that's what it was. You're so mature. Yeah, well, we're going to get to our special guest today. Marlon, would you like to say hello?
Hi.
But first, Andy and I are going to talk a little bit about, well, campus life and also the semester that we've had.
Yeah.
I think we should mention Highbridge.
Oh.
Sophie worked it.
Yeah,
yes,
that was
did.
A fun time.
Yeah. So it's when good. You work it, do you get to dress up?
Yeah, so I'm in a class called Special Events.
Oh.
So, it's a MediaCom class, so there's 6 teams in the class, which is comprised of public relations, video, broadcast, graphic design, Hughes and Miller, which do the decorating for both of those. So I was on the PR team, so we were in charge of ticketing and sponsorship, and that night I basically ran all of the social media for Highbridge.
Wow. Oh, so all the things that came at the bottom of the screen for us watching at home were from you? Like the voting stuff.
The voting stuff, mm-hmm. Yes. So I was one of the ones that was tallying all the votes and doing all of that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big job.
Wow.
Standia, did you go to Highbridge?
I did.
You dressed up?
I did. I had fun dressing up. Don't know why I did it.
Have you been every year?
Yeah, I've gone every year.
Awesome.
So I guess I went every year and then some now.
Yeah. How did this compare? Can you say that on air? Was it better?
I don't know. It was just really different because it's like this year was the first year where I went where I didn't know a lot of the people because my class already left. So it's like, I'm here with people that I don't really go to school with.
Yeah.
But here we go.
Yeah. So it's very different when you're not actually a student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah. So we actually watch Highbridge on our couch. We stream it.
Mm.
We eat popcorn.
Ooh,
we take our own intermission when we need it. Yeah. My kids love it. They love Highbridge. You know how it started at 6:30 with interviews beforehand?
Yes.
So, or 6:45 maybe. I kept saying to them, it doesn't start until 7:30. And they were insistent that we turn it on at 6:30 or 6:45 to watch the pre-interviews and comment on the dresses of the people.
Aww.
Yeah, they really love it. And when they used to have the sitcom,
yes.
Then my kids, who did not grow up on sitcoms at all and don't have a category for sitcoms, laughed like it was the funniest thing they had ever seen in their life.
Oh,
they love it. So Highbridge is a real highlight for the Brown family. And Esther actually watched with us this year.
Oh, that's super
fun. So it was like a party. It's a party.
That's great.
Popcorn. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Standia. And Sophie, you can chime in here too. The highlights of the semester from intercultural affairs.
Yeah.
And even from the year, because we're closing out a whole year. Mm-hmm. And we have done a ton of stuff.
A ton of stuff, yes.
A lot.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to remember.
some of the things are hard to remember. But
yeah, not because they weren't great, but just because there's so many.
It just kept going and going. Yeah.
So, Sandia, what was your favorite thing this year coming out of our office?
I think just thinking of things that happened recently is the Now You See Me exhibit that just went up in the student center. Mm-hmm. And, like, the displaying of the flags. Probably a 10 out of 10 event that happened.
Yeah.
Me. Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah,
I love those flags. I think it changes the whole student center.
Yeah.
And just, I think it, I was talking to a professor about this, about intentionality in the things that are displayed on campus. And it just sends a message of intentionality about culture and bringing in international students. And
and
I love the Now You See Me exhibit.
Oh.
Did you have you seen it, Sophie?
I loved it. Yeah. I was going to say that one, too, because Sandia kind of stole
took
that
yours.
From me.
Sorry. Trick is you have to go first.
Always go first and you do what you want.
It's beautiful. I mean, Eliza and Edda did an amazing job. Mm-hmm. The interviews are great. And it I love it. I was so happy during the reception.
It was great.
Yeah. Sophie, do you have a favorite thing besides the Now You See Me exhibit?
I really liked the Lunar New Year one.
Oh,
I
love
that one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great. I like the food, the crafts, the projects. And it's like, I would say Asian culture is one that I'm probably the least familiar with. Mm-hmm. So like seeing that and seeing like the intercultural students that are in that, it's like, it was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
And I always feel like for our Lunar New Year and Mid-Autumn Festival, that if you come, you really do feel like you experienced something authentic in Asian culture. I always walk away thinking, if you had no other opportunities to be exposed to culture, you would definitely have been exposed at one of these events.
Yeah.
I would have to say one of my favorites is the Embrace Conference.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because that was our inaugural year, and it was really exciting. The Truth Table podcast.
Love those ladies. They are amazing.
So great.
So funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Having them on campus, seeing representation like that was just, I loved that. What else have we done?
I'm not going to lie. I forgot the Caribbean one.
Ladies.
We're really disappointing the Caribbean
I'm disappointing.
Right now.
You are. Wow. They're so Julian is so disappointed in you right now.
Julian is screaming right now. Whatever he is.
And Julian did an amazing job leading that charge.
Yeah.
And that was a fun new addition as well to our events. Yeah, at the Latino Festival.
Yes.
That was great.
Encourage Retreat.
Encourage Retreat for our intercultural students. That was amazing.
That was.
There's so many other things. Now I'm forgetting all of them.
Just
we did cultural mentoring. We did two semesters of cultural mentoring. In fact, we just wrapped that up and we had total, some of them would be repeats, but I think 18 to 19 people participating, and that would include staff and faculty as well as student mentors.
Yes.
So that is really exciting. We also did mentoring in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
Sandia and Sophie have both participated in that.
So much fun.
Yeah. So that wraps up as well. But we had 10 students going into the public schools in Jessamine County to do mentoring. So that's really exciting. We had Day of Remembrance. That was a new event as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the International Christmas Market was a real success.
Black History Month celebration
Black
History Month.
Yeah. And the Food Expo was a new addition to Black History Month.
Delicious food.
Amazing food.
Caleb's
Shout
mom.
Out to Caleb's mom.
She threw down in the kitchen.
She did. You know, Oliver the other day said to me something about Carla. And I said, who are you talking about? And he's like, Caleb's mom. He remembers her because of the amazing food, I think.
The food was really good.
Yeah. So, we could probably spend a whole hour talking about the semester.
Yeah.
Because we had a good one. And the year. A lot of things. And a lot of things planned for next year we're really excited about. So, So, I'm about to do my magic trick. Abracadabra. We're shifting to Esther. She has arrived. In the form of a magic trick. Esther, welcome.
Thank you.
It's that time of year where everyone is running everywhere, right?
Yes, I think so. Many directions.
Yes, lots of events happening, lots of things. But we're happy that you're here, Esther.
Thank you. It is good to be with you, Asbury community. And good to be with you, Maria, Standia, and Marlone. I am so excited to be able to share in this last show for the semester. And, look forward to sharing further with the community. And,
yeah, we were just recapping the year, our favorite things from the year. Do you have a favorite thing from Intercultural Affairs this year, Esther?
All of it. Is that okay to say, Marlone? Yeah. All of it.
That's unfair. You have to pick one thing that you enjoyed above all others.
All of it.
Esther is not having it. She's not going to pick just one thing.
I'm not sure, Maria. I don't know that I can really just pick. You know, Dr. Campbell said in chapel, you can't just pick a verse. Right? I mean, she was referring to speaking in context.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to use that on this radio show and say all of it.
Just I'm like the Bible.
I'm not sure that one particular event was more than the other. But I think by far, if you really push me to think of one, I'm going to have to say I have to give it up to the Embrace Conference.
Mm, that was mine too.
I think that was just a stellar initiative, the engagement of our community, the speakers that came to us,
mm-hmm.
our faculty, our staff who participated. I think all around that program was one of the richest
mm-hmm.
Initiatives that we have shared in this semester. But yeah. Again,
it's hard to
pick. Oh, Maria, yes,
yeah.
It is so difficult.
Because I have things flashing through my mind like the International Christmas Market when everyone sang. That
yes.
made me so happy. The yes. Now You See Me exhibit.
Yes.
That made me so happy. The Embrace Conference. I mean, it's
yes.
hard to pick.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did you already share what was yours?
Well, I said I just actually was listing. I didn't actually make myself pick a favorite since it was my question.
So Marlone, it's only fair that we ask Maria, right? Pick one.
You know, since you already took the Embrace Conference, then I won't take that one since we've already discussed it. I've already talked about the International Christmas Market, so I won't pick that. I think, well, first I'll say this. The things that I love the most are seeing students be celebrated and to see them feel that a sense of empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And that I love that. So I think that really came together at the Now You See Me exhibit reception,
mm-hmm.
just watching Eliza and Etta, who had done such hard work, and then all of the students who were represented in the pictures, that I think brought a lot of things together for me, like just celebrating, empowering, telling stories, bringing people together, like just watching people look and read the interviews was really exciting for me.
We have had some phenomenal events that have occurred, and I am so grateful to our students, to our community.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I am getting requests from other schools asking us to help them find ways to do similar events on their campus to grow their community. I was just on a Zoom conference call today with a school in Tennessee. Asking,
wow.
How do we do what Asbury's doing?
Hello. That's exciting.
We're going to have to package what we're doing and share with our colleagues across
yeah.
the country.
That's a great way to end the year, right? On a good note.
On a good note,
yeah.
Yes.
And another good note, our special guest, Marlone. So should we say that last week, both Marlone and I failed to show up for the radio show. So Marlone, my public confession is that I forgot about the radio show because I was doing work and I was in Lexington searching for foam board for the photo exhibit and I forgot about the radio show. So actually you forgetting saved me.
Yeah.
Yes. So Marlone, welcome to the Embrace Radio Hour. We're happy to have you.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What would you like our listeners to know about you?
Yeah, and feel free to start with what year in school, what major, where is home, some of those basics. How many siblings?
Well, I'm a sophomore here, and I play on the Asbury men's soccer team.
Go soccer team.
Yeah. I'm originally from Honduras, but I came here when I was five, so I basically grew up here. And I have three little brothers, and, like, I mean, I have a lot of family here. Half of it's, like, in Honduras, but here in the United States, I have, like, 45 cousins.
Wow.
So 40. Did you say 45?
45,
like, not
yeah.
4 to 5 cousins,
no,
but 45.
Yeah, 45.
Here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's a lot of cousins.
Yeah. So, I mean, growing up here in the United States, like, still, I still kind of, like, grew up separately from, like, the American type of it. Because, like, my family was still here. And, like,
I
only, like, associated with, like, my family pretty much. And
yeah,
I had
so,
friends,
like, your immediate family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's basically how I grew up. And, I mean, coming here has, like, opened, like, that diversity even more for me. Because I've met a lot of people from a lot of different cultures. And, like, I'm mostly friends with the international still, but, like, I mean, yeah, I have enjoyed, like, meeting all these new people here.
Mm-hmm. Marlon, it has been so great to have you on our campus, and I'm just looking forward to getting to know you more for the time that, you know, we have you with us, not just on the radio show today, but also, you know, as we come back next academic year. It is such a delight to have you on our campus, and we can only hope that this environment, this school has been a good place for you as well.
It has.
So, yeah.
And Marlon, did you already say what your major is?
No, I'm a media comm major, film production. I originally came here like as a business major, business administration. But I don't know. I mean, eventually, like, obviously, a lot of people change, like, their majors, like, throughout their career. But, like, I don't know. I just felt like I've always loved movies and making movies and just, like, it's art. And it has always brought my attention. And I just, like, I felt like coming here, like, I didn't know that before I came here. But I felt like the reason I came here was to, like, learn that about myself. That's what I truly, like, really, like, love and, like, what I really have a passion for. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So what would you like to do with that? If you had a dream job, what would it be?
I mean, I would love to direct movies. I mean, yeah. I want to be a director and just, like, be able to, like, show people my perspective on a lot of, like, topics and just, like, being able to put, like, my point of view out there in the world through movies.
Yeah, wow.
So, Marlon, is there a particular genre in the movies that you prefer or you recommend? Because I'm always looking to learn. So I've learned a lot about music from our past graduates.
I mean,
so any genre you recommend or specifically you are interested in?
I'm not sure. I mean, I love all types of movies, you know, like, if I see one, I'll enjoy it either way.
Okay.
And I like to learn from all of them, so I couldn't really pick a specific one.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Now, Marlon, did you have anything in Highbridge, or were you involved in Highbridge at all?
No, not yet.
Did you go to Highbridge?
No, I wasn't able to.
Did you stream Highbridge?
No.
You now have to apologize to all the Highbridge people.
I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay, Marlon. We'll forgive you.
Yeah, Lowbridge.
Lowbridge.
You know, they do have Lowbridge. So did you go to Lowbridge?
I think it's Thursday, right? Yes, yeah, Thursday. So
what is Lowbridge?
I mean, it's just like other like movies that like didn't like get in Highbridge or just like other like types of movies that students have made.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of like they show them in the stews and like anybody can go to it. So, I mean, it's pretty fun too.
Oh, that's Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday at 7, I think.
Wow. That sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
I always find that concept interesting, right? Highbridge and Lowbridge. But I'm really glad for the space it creates for the movies that may have not had the opportunity to make it on stage. Mm-hmm. So it's helpful in that way.
Yeah.
Marlon, I'm curious. Well, I have a couple of questions. One, what part of Honduras are you from?
Tegucigalpa. That's the capital, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been there.
Yeah, that's
cool. Mm-hmm. A long, long time ago, when I was young, I actually took a trip when I was in the sixth grade, and we flew into Tegucigalpa and then went out to another part of Honduras. But
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So you said that you hang out a lot with international students. Mm-hmm. And you also said that because your family was here and you have such a large family, it sounds like that really preserved culture for you. Is that your experience?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like coming into the U.S., like not knowing the language and just like going straight into school, it's kind of hard. And you kind of like associate yourself with the people that are going through the same things.
Mm-hmm.
So like other like Hispanic friends that have just like recently come to the country as well. Because like that's who you communicate with at first. Eventually I learned English like really quickly, but like still like most of my friends that I made at first were like Hispanics, and like I still like grew up like through all mm-hmm. the grade school like hanging out with the Latino part of that community, because like
mm-hmm.
that's who you like associate with the most, and like you're all going through like the same situations. Mm-hmm. And, like, you still like I still have a lot of like American friends, but like mostly like the people that you really hang out with are like those types of people. So like that's pretty much how like I grew up. So yeah, I did preserve the culture, and that's how I like still am able to like speak Spanish mm-hmm. like fluently. If not, like I would have forgot it by now, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have kind of an interesting experience as being a first generation, right? So your parents did not grow up here. Mm-hmm. And so that is an interesting dynamic, probably, of preserving culture mm-hmm. as you're growing up. But then as you age and begin your own life as an mm-hmm. adult, then that's an interesting balance to strike with preserving culture and also being in a totally different culture.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's even hard in the home, just like preserving our culture, because like we have a lot of family events, and like, you know, we have our music, we have our like, I mean, we just have our, like our parties, and like that's pretty much how like we like associate with each other. But we still like live here in America
mm-hmm.
and we're pretty much like, I mean, honestly, compared to like the people in Honduras, we're probably still like very different,
because
we're very like Americanized, as you would say.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of slang like in Spanglish, like that, like when you combine like Spanish words with English words, mm-hmm. it's like a whole different culture, but it's still like our culture. And definitely, like, I feel like growing up, I still have to preserve like definitely my language with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, if I get married to my girlfriend who's an American, then I would definitely still have to like work hard to like make sure my kids speak mm-hmm. Spanish still,
yeah,
stuff like that. But like I guess just like associating them like with my family, like still like mm-hmm. preserving contact with all of my cousins and stuff will help.
Yeah. Yeah, that will be an interesting process for you as you preserve culture and then add culture to your family. Mm-hmm. And that's already happening even with the putting together of like American and Honduran yeah. and then what mm-hmm. that looks like in America. And it'd be interesting to talk to your whole family, right?
Yeah.
And say, so to your parents, like, how have you changed since you came mm-hmm. to the United States, and how is what elements of culture have you preserved, and what elements have changed? And
yeah, I mean, I feel like my parents have changed a lot, but like for the best,
because
mm-hmm. like you do have to adapt to the lifestyle here. Mm-hmm. The lifestyle there is more like, I mean, I didn't grow up there, but like based on what they tell me, it's more like you have to like survive kind of. It's a really poor country, there's not mm-hmm. really any progress, and even here like they don't have many job opportunities, but like it's a whole different lifestyle. Like we can go out to eat whenever mm-hmm. we want, like we can go to the movies, and that has made them like, I don't know, I mean, like what I want to say is like people in Honduras are more like toughened up.
They're more resilient,
yeah,
because they have to be, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And my family is basically like here, I mean, they have that way of life, like they're really hardworking, but they also like have like found a balance, is what mm-hmm. I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So in some ways you're a third culture kid, like mm-hmm. with this Honduran culture, with American culture, and then the culture that is the combination of
yeah.
both of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it strikes me how important family is in preserving culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
without that strong family unit and then extended family, it'd be much more difficult to maintain cultural identity that would have so many Honduran elements, right?
Yeah, of course, because I mean everybody's different, and like each family has different types of like the culture that they preserve.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mean, just in my family, they have like, we have so many different situations. Like my parents like mm-hmm. basically grew up like all of their lives in Honduras, and me, I grew up most of my life here, and my mm-hmm. little brothers were born here.
Mm.
So like we have a very different situation. My cousins as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like my cousins, like some of them grew up here while their parents were still in Honduras and stuff.
Mm.
So like everybody is different in ways, and like that they have different aspects of the culture that they like to preserve.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah.
So as you go forward, what aspects of culture, of your birth culture, let's say, your Honduran culture, what aspects are important for you to preserve, even, for example, if you marry someone who's not Honduran?
I mean, part of our Honduran culture is, like, the main thing is, like, family. Like, we're all family. And we always do everything together, like, no matter what it is. And, I mean, I really like that. I mean, I know a lot of, like, people here are like that, too. I mean, it depends on who you are. But, like, in like, Honduran culture, like, even if you're not family, like, that's your family. Mm-hmm. Like, my friends here, like, I consider them my family. And that's just, like, we're really passionate about things. And I really like that about, like, my family. That's just something that my parents have taught me. Because, like, growing up here, I mean, I've seen the people around here, and they're not really as close to their family as, like, I am. And, like, I don't, like, I would... I sometimes think, like, oh, I'm so close to my family, maybe that's not right and stuff. But, like, I mean, I've, like, come to learn that, like, that's a good thing that we have from our culture. Mm-hmm. And just, like, how, like, centered we are on family and how much, like, that can help you grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that community family piece is a really important part of your culture that you wouldn't want to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
Marlone, you know, you're making me think about perhaps a values-based question.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can come back to this after we take a break or or something like that. I am wondering if you could help us understand how is the view or the value based on family different from North America, right? So, like, the value of family from the Honduran perspective. How do you view your family? Like, what do you understand family to be? And is it different from the way we see it here in North America? Because what you're, I think what you're referencing is the fact that we are different cultures, right? So we have a collective culture, communal culture, which is significantly part of the Honduran context.
Yeah.
And then in North America, we are, in some ways, we are communal, but we are largely individualistic as a culture, right?
Yeah.
So again, I'm just, you're making me think about this question that I think there's got to be a difference in how we view the role of family, what is family, and maybe those reasons make the experience of family different, maybe? How would you say you've experienced that? Like, even just think back to any season in your life. Did you see a contrast of how you understood family and how your friends in high school maybe, or middle school, or like even now in college? How do they see family and understand family?
I mean, I think it all depends on, like, different types of people. Like, not everybody's the same.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everybody sees, like, their family, like, from a different perspective. But based on my experiences, I just feel like family is, like, the most important thing, or, like, that's what I've learned. Because, like, starting from the beginning, I mean, my parents, like, left their country, like, at a young age, and just left everything behind to try to, like, make a better future, like, for their future family. Because back then it was only me and my little brother, who was 6 months old. And, I mean, they left all their dreams, their hopes or goals in life just to come here. And, like, I mean, their lifestyle's better here and they're much happier, I'm sure. But, like, they don't really, like, work towards anything. Like, they don't, like, grow, like, in their career. I mean, they just work every day and come home and, like, repeat it every day just so I can be here at Asbury studying. And, like, they're still not done because, like, I got three more brothers and, like, they're not going to stop. And, like, I know, like, their only goal in life is for us to have a better future and for us to be happier. And, I mean, I'm not saying that's just, like, my family and, like, or Honduran culture. Like, I'm sure most people are like that as well. But, like, that's just what I've learned from my family and, like, my aunts and my uncles. Like, when they leave their country, it's, like, to come here, it's not for them. It's for, like, their children. And even, like, for their parents back home. Like, they want to send them money back home because it's... So, I mean, yeah, that's what I've learned.
Yeah, no, and I think that's so helpful because what you're helping us see that families are not just meant to, you know, stop with the parents, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really a passing on, mm-hmm. investing in the future generations. Yeah. And I think that is a very important piece. The value, mm-hmm. the added value of that, I think is pretty high in some of the collectivistic cultures. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you've said, here as well in North America, we have families that deeply, deeply care, mm-hmm. about the children, the children's children. Mm-hmm. You know, they save up, you know, whether it is, mm-hmm. money or investments, they save up so that the grandchildren, mm-hmm. and the great-grandchildren can have finances to be, yeah. able to go to school and have an education. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a dear friend whose dad was a dean at a medical school, and he set aside money for his great-grandchildren. You know, so there are families in North America who have similar values, mm-hmm. But that is a slightly smaller population, perhaps, that, mm-hmm. you know, that may be functioning in that way. Mm-hmm. Because I myself have a similar experience like you, Marlon, that I come from a family where my parents have always focused on making sure that me and my brother had the opportunities, that, mm-hmm. we had the experiences that made our lives better.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very important gift that has been given to us, is that somebody else is investing in us, and so thus, mm-hmm. we need to invest in others.
Yeah.
And sometimes we forget that in our individualistic, mm-hmm. or myopic, mm-hmm. you know, and when I say myopic, sometimes we're so focused, perhaps on self, mm-hmm. and just focused on specific things that may be our needs and wants. And so it's so important to step out of those often, mm-hmm. To be able to be helpful to others in society. So,
yeah.
So one thing that you said that really struck me was the sacrifice your parents have made, and that a lot of that is because they're your parents, right?
Yeah.
So many parents would do that, but that, mm-hmm. some of that drive flows out of that sense of collective, mm-hmm. culture, collective, you know, that you're more focused on the family unit, where in the United States we tend to be more focused on the individual. So, mm-hmm. The individual needs the career, the individual needs advancement, as opposed to I'm going to sacrifice for the greater, mm-hmm. whole. And that is really beautiful. Kind of almost made me cry. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of like how it's always been for us. Like, I just remember like graduating high school. Like, I didn't think that was a big deal, because I mean, here in the United States, you're supposed to graduate high school. Mm-hmm. But like, seeing the look on my mom, like, she was almost crying on my graduation day. I'm like, "What's wrong?" And she's like, "Like, she was just so happy, because like, mm-hmm. she felt like that all the sacrifice she made, like taking me and my brother. I was 5 and he was 6 months old, like across like these countries and like through the United States. Like she like felt that like it all paid off, and like the sacrifice. Like, she left her parents. She didn't see them for like 13 years, mm-hmm. like. And, I mean, that just really struck me, and, like, that made me want to, like, further my education even more, even though I knew I had to. But even then, like, me being here, like, it's still not just about me, because, like, I still have to, like, I feel like I have to make their sacrifice worth it.
Hmm.
And they also told me, like, I have to, like, set a good example for my little brothers as well,
mm-hmm.
to, like, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's another piece of your culture that will be preserved, right? The sense of being tied to something that's greater than just my dreams or my ideas, mm-hmm. but that you would see their sacrifice, benefit from it, and then also give, mm-hmm. and sacrifice yourself.
Yeah.
If your mom was crying on your high school graduation in 2 years,
yeah,
she
exactly.
comes to your Asbury graduation, mm-hmm. if I'm there, I'll just need a box of Kleenex.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're going to take a short break. Sophie's got a song for us. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about your experience here at Asbury.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, I fell in love. We used to hold hands, man, that was enough.
Yeah.
Then we grew up, started to touch. Used to kiss underneath the light on the back of the bus. I know your daddy didn't like me much, and he didn't believe me when I see you with a wall. Every day, she found a way out of the window to sneak out late. She used to meet me on the east side, in the city with a
sun all set. And every day you know that we ride through the back streets of a blue Corvette. Baby, you know I just wanna leave tonight. We can go anywhere we want. Drive down to the coast, jump in the sea. Just take my hand and come with me, yeah. We can do anything if you put a mind to it. Take your whole life, then you put a line through it. My love is yours if you're willing to take it. Give me a heart, cause I'm gonna break it. So come away, start it today. Start a new life together in a different place. We know that love is how all these ideas came to be. So baby, run away with me.
17, and we got a dream to have a family, a house and everything in between. And then suddenly, we're 10, 23, and we got pressure for taking our life more seriously. We got a dead end jobs and got bills to pay. Have old friends and now our enemies. And now I'm thinking back to when I was young, back to the day when I was falling in love. He used to meet me on the east side, in the city where the sun don't set. And every day you know where we'd ride, through the back streets in a blue Corvette. I just wanna leave tonight. We can go anywhere we want. Drive down to the coast, jump in the sea. Just take my hand and come with me. Singing, we can do anything if we put a mind to it. Take your old life and you put a line through it. My love is yours if you're willing to take it. Give me your heart cause I ain't gonna break it. So come away, starting to taste. Start a new life together in a different place. Know the love is how all these ideas came to be.
To meet me on the east side.
He used to meet me on the east side.
She used to meet me on the east side, the city where the sun don't set.
Welcome back, Asbury. We are here at the Embrace Radio Hour. I'm Maria Brown.
I'm Esther Jadhav.
And our special guest,
Marlon Enriquez.
And Marlon, we've been talking about your Honduran culture.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about preserving that and the blend of American and Honduran culture. We've been talking about family. You made me cry with the story about your mom. So I need a break from feeling like I'm going to cry. So we're going to talk about your experience at Asbury.
Yeah.
So tell us what it was like for you coming onto Asbury's campus.
I mean, it was really sudden for me because I graduated high school without, like, knowing where I was going to go after
mm-hmm.
that because I didn't really have a lot of, like, opportunities because, like, with my legal status, I didn't really get federal aid. And, like, public schools charge you, like, double, like, out-of-state tuition, most of them. So, like, private schools do give you scholarships, which is the way, I was able to come here. But I got accepted here, like, in July.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was, like, a month before, like, classes and soccer started. So it was, like, it all happened really fast for me. And, I mean, at first I was, like, really, like, it was really hard for me. Because, like I said, I've always been, like, a really, like, family person. And it was so hard. Because, like, I mean, my family's close. They're only in Tennessee. But, like, it just felt like, you know, that was the moment that, like, you know, I'm on my, like, I'm on my own now. And I'm growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, eventually, like, I made a lot of friends here. And friends that I still have, like, now that just became my family as well. So, I mean, I've been really enjoyed it here. It's, like, a really, like, embracing community where you always feel like welcome and you feel like safe. So I mean, I've enjoyed it here.
That's great. So what was your connection to Asbury? How did you find out about Asbury?
Honestly, my dad was working for like this friend he had, and he like came here like 30 years ago, a long time ago. He like attended here, and he said like he still like sometimes like donates money to like some scholarship. It was like it was really like complicated. Not complicated, but, like, it's kind of, like, a miracle, I felt like, meeting this person. And he, like, just gave word to the coach, like, yeah, this kid, like, wants to come to school here. And, like, it was basically soccer that opened the door for me
because
I did really well my senior year.
So you're a good, like, soccer player.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was. I don't know about now.
You were good enough to get here.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, yeah, I love soccer, and I enjoy playing it a lot. But, like, he really helped me, like, talk to Coach Andrews, and he would, like, send him, like, the newspapers I was in and, like, all these, like, my stats and, like, Coach Andrews like set up, like he had like an ID camp, and I came here and I talked to him and my dad talked to him. Mm-hmm. And I actually talked to Coach Andrews the other day. He told me I never knew that my dad talked to him while I was like trying out. Mm-hmm. But he said that whatever my dad told him like motivated him and like kind of helped me, like helped him like want to like give me this shot. And like, so I mean, yeah, like a month before like school started, like Coach Andrews like wanted me on the team, which is what like Asbury was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they like wanted me, like they got like all my school stuff and they just like accepted me onto the school. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was like a really great experience for me.
Wow. Mm-hmm. A couple things about that story. One, how miraculous it is, you know, all mm-hmm. those pieces, those Asbury alum, they are everywhere. Yeah. But how God would piece all that together. Mm-hmm. And I think every time we've had someone on the show and we've talked to them about how they got to Asbury, almost every time it's something maybe not quite as miraculous as that, but something mm-hmm. where you're like, oh, wow, God really worked that out to mm-hmm. make it clear this is where you're supposed to come.
Yeah.
And it also, I asked the wrong question because I almost started crying again thinking about your parents and how they even worked to get you here, right? Yeah, so your dad definitely advocating for you. And mm-hmm. we need to have them on the show.
Yeah, honestly.
We need to interview them, but mm-hmm. I might need a box of Kleenex for that one.
Yeah.
So coming to Asbury was hard because you were homesick.
Yeah.
Were there any other challenges that you had coming onto campus?
I mean, I like the academic part of it. I mean, that's what I came here for. Mm-hmm. But soccer at first was really, really hard because, like, I mean, it was just, like, every day. And, like, the first 2 weeks we had, like, conditioning, which is, like, it was 3 times a day for 2 weeks. Which, I mean,
just,
like, on top
brutal.
Of, like, being, like, homesick and stuff, I kind of, like, I lost, like, 15 pounds. It was, yeah, I mean, but, like, on the inside, I still, like, kind of felt sad. But, like, on the outside, I was still happy. I was doing, like, mm-hmm. hanging out with my friends and stuff. I mean, at first it was tough and it kind of, like, gave me the first semester gave me like a bad idea of college, like I don't want to be here. But then like coming back in the spring semester, I like really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just knew like it's where I had to be, like I had no choice. Like my parents are always like, if you're not happy, you can like do something else, or you can go to community college. But like mm-hmm. I know like on the inside, like this is where I'm supposed to be. Like I have mm-hmm. no choice but to like be here. And, I mean, and now like, I love it here. And,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. 15 pounds. That's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm remembering. So you did come to my house to eat maybe waffles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it was your freshman year, mm-hmm. right? And I do remember you being smaller.
Yeah, I was really small.
Oh, that makes me sad. We're glad that you're back to full health.
Mm-hmm. Even waffles couldn't
even
fix
waffles
it.
Couldn't fix it.
You know, actually, waffles are one of my favorite things about the Brown family.
Oh, we do waffles well.
I enjoy the waffle nights that we get to have, and so a little shout out to the Brown family. I know the kids are in school, but I hope they know how loved they are. Ada and Oliver and Campbell. It's been fun. So, Marlone. Mm-hmm. Faith is a big part of who Asbury is, right? We are a Wesleyan holiness institution. So could you share with us a little bit about how your faith has impacted and continues to impact your journey as a person who has come here from a different culture and a different ethnicity? So how has faith played a part in that?
I think it's played a big part of my family and like my family's faith too. Like just like being here was like a huge like test of faith, because like, I mean, the reason they came here so I can have like further education and graduate college, and like I graduated high school not knowing where I was gonna go. I'd actually applied to Berea.
Mm.
Yeah, and like that was kind of like where I put all my eggs in that basket, and like they didn't accept me. Like in that summer, so I just like thought, I was like, wow, like I don't know what I'm gonna do now. And but I mean, we just had faith, and like I knew that it was gonna work out in the end. And like eventually I came here. Like it wasn't easy, because even the day that I went to like these tryouts that I went with Coach Andrews, like it was like an all day thing, and like in the middle of the trip our car broke down like in Williamsburg. So like we were just stuck there, and like I mean, we just figured like we need to get a tow truck, go back home. Like, I texted Coach Andrews, like, he couldn't help us because, like, I mean, it was, like, this huge mess. But eventually, like, somebody, like, my mom came. She got off work, and, like, she eventually picked us up, and, like, we decided that we were still going to, like, try to make it here, mm-hmm. at least talk to the coach, tell him what happened. We made it with, like, an hour left, and, like, I was still able to, like, practice. And, like, I mean, it just all, like, worked out, like, perfectly, I would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, not perfectly, but, like, it all just worked out, like, even though I thought it wasn't. And I know it's because of God. And, I mean, even, like, not only that, but just growing up in the United States, like, we, like, have to face a lot of trials. And most of the time, like, we have to just put our faith in God. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, sometimes we have nothing but that. So I think that's really something that has helped us grow and, like, just made us, like, stronger.
Yeah, thank you, Marlon, for sharing about the fact that life is not easy. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes these different layers mm-hmm. of who we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whether it is an individual coming from a different country into yeah. the United States, mm-hmm. that adds a whole nother level of complexity and challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hearing you say that faith is like an anchoring, like it brings stability to yeah. your life.
Mm-hmm.
It also gives you the impetus to continue to persevere,
mm-hmm.
right? So when yeah. we have a faith and we have a hope, you know, you want to get this education, you want to do right by your parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mom and dad have sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
have given up everything they knew
mm-hmm.
and they came to a whole different country and embraced it as their own. You want to do good on yeah. that investment mm-hmm. and the sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
And that faith has been a pretty big part of helping you stay on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some particular ways in which your faith has anchored you, your faith has pushed you forward? Like, could you talk a little bit about that? Like,
I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, just coming here, like I said, like, my first semester was really tough, but, like, I had no choice but to, like push forward. And, like, just, like, praying to God before I went to bed, when I woke up, that I mean, I would feel better. And, like, I mean, just, I feel like the way it worked was, like, just believing that it was going to get better helped it, like, get better.
Mm.
And, like, I don't know. There have been a lot of times, like, where I've, like, had to pray, like intensely. And sometimes, like, you, like, look towards God whenever, like, sometimes you, like, disregard it for a while. And then sometimes you look towards Him when you need Him the most and you kind of feel bad. But I feel like He's always there and, like, He's always looking after me. And that's just something that, like, helps me, like, you know, that gives me a push.
Mm. I think you highlighted a very important biblical concept, which is, you know, blessed are those who believe without seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you say you just had to believe that tomorrow is going to be okay without knowing whether it'll be okay or not.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so important. So thank you for saying that. Yeah. In addition to that, Marlon, could you speak a little bit to why should we care about other cultures? Why should we care about other ethnicities? Why should Asbury invest resources and efforts in creating a campus that cares about cultural responsibility?
Well, I think every different culture and, like, every, like, a lot of people from a lot of parts of the world have, like, their own special things, like, to bring, like, to teach people. Like, we learn from other people's experiences. We learn from their cultures, and, like, it's just something that, like, helps everybody, like, and, like, just, like, in a community as well. Like, they all have, like, stuff to bring to the table is what I mean. And most of the time, it's, like, great things we learn from them because, like, most of the time when people are here, especially if they want to study, it's for a good reason.
Mm.
And it's for, like, them trying to better themselves and just trying to better, like, their overall status as, like, a family or... And I just feel like, I mean, they have the right mindset. So, like, we have a lot to learn from other people from other parts of the world because they've experienced different things.
Mm. I think that's an important value as well, is learning from other persons helps us see that the world is much bigger than we think it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's just not a particular way of doing things, that there are so many different ways in which we can address particular situations that our world is needing us to address. So so thank you, Marlon, for highlighting the importance of diversity is really learning from others.
Mm-hmm.
And in learning, our wisdom grows so much.
Mm-hmm.
if we could only,
yeah,
if we could only pause enough, right, to listen and learn from others. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Marlon, something you said that stood out to me was when you were saying you don't have as many safety nets, right? So your parents don't have as many things to fall back on as maybe some of our parents have, and how even though that's painful and difficult, that it forces you to rely on God, which is really a gift, right? Yeah. So I was just having this conversation just yesterday with someone about how we spend a lot of our life running from pain. We don't want things to hurt. We don't want things to feel unsafe. We want to feel in control. Mm-hmm. We want to know what's coming. But all of those things end up being barriers for us to really see and experience God. And when we're stripped of those safety nets, then we experience God in ways that are really a gift. So it's this paradox of the kingdom, right? But you really highlighted that your experience has been when all you have is God, he is enough, and you know him in a way that is different from someone who maybe doesn't physically have as many needs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so that I really appreciate that reminder. Well, Marlon, it's been so good to talk to you today and hear your story. And I think the first time I met you, you maybe said three words. And today you've said a lot more than three words. And I feel like it's because you're not starving. So if only I would have known, I would have sent more food home with you or invited you back. But I'm so grateful for your perspective and just for hearing more about your faith and your family. And I'm just grateful for your perspective.
Yeah, Marlon, I wanted to ask any other words that you would like to share with the Asbury community as we listen to you today. Is there anything on your heart that you really feel like the world needs to know, that God's people need to care about?
I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, the Asbury community is pretty, like I said, embracing. But, like, in the United States right now, there's a lot of controversy with immigration. And, like, I mean, obviously there's, like, good and bad people in every type of, like, race and stuff. And it's, like, that's not really what it comes down to. But I feel like most of the people that are here, because, I mean, I've seen it. Like, I grew up in a town that's, like, full of Hispanics. Is like, we come here to better ourselves and our families. And that's the only reason, I mean, we come here to work hard and, like, to just, like, better, like, not only ourselves, but, like, we better our community, just, like, the United States in general. And, like, I mean, we just come here with good intentions. So, like, yeah.
So getting to know the stories is so important.
Definitely,
getting to know why we are here and, you know, why we take the risks that we take is so critical to understand. Because I, like you said, it's a very challenging dilemma in our country. So how do we balance the care for persons and be respectful of processes and protocols of a given country, right?
Yeah.
So thank you for reminding us that first and foremost, we always need to care for the dignity of the person that is in front of us.
Yeah.
And that can look different for all of us, right?
Yeah.
But first and foremost, never undermining the value of another human being.
Yeah.
And that goes across the board, across the board, all ethnicities, all cultures, North America, South America, Asia, all of the continents. Like, I'm just right now, my mind is thinking all people everywhere should be cared for, that the dignity should never be damaged or hurt, but that we as Christians have an impressive honor to extend an invitation to lift someone up and encourage someone in their life. And so that's, thank you for bringing that to the forefront. And it's been a delight to have you with us, and we look forward to having you on campus next year. Any fun plans for the summer?
Working.
Working. Okay. Anything like making a movie or anything like that? shooting a movie?
Yeah.
Maybe you should invite Marie and I to be a
part
of
your movie.
Yeah.
I'm great in movies.
Maybe we could have Sophie in there too.
Yeah, she'll do the audio.
So I think I know that Maria will close us out, but I just want to express my immense gratitude to a couple folks before we land this Embrace show, before we bring it to a close. I want to thank Sophie for her diligent work in making us sound good.
That's right.
Sophie. In making sure that we're on time and that we are heard well. So, Sophie, thank you.
Thank you, Sophie.
You are always welcome, of course.
And I hope that we will get to work with you again.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
I want to thank Standia Civil, who is a graduate intern in the Office of Intercultural Affairs. She was with you at the beginning of this show. Standia has done an impressive job in being an important support in all of the programs that we have done and brought to our campus community. I have to thank Maria Brown for the impressive work she has done in investing in our students, in investing in the initiatives that have come to you as well. So Maria, thank you for your phenomenal work in the intercultural affairs initiatives this year. And yeah, I look forward to more time, more work next year. Mm-hmm. And I really want to thank all of our students, our intercultural students, our majority students. I want to thank all of our students. I think our campus is great when you show yourself. Mm-hmm. When you are here with us and we are with you and we get to work together to make something good, it is an impressive combination. Mm-hmm. So students, I want to thank you. And faculty, staff, thank you for your ongoing support of the work of creating a culturally responsible campus. Mm-hmm. I hope I am not forgetting anyone, Maria, but feel free, since you're going to round us up on the show, feel free to thank any and all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, we need to thank you, Esther, for your continued vision for the university, your care for students, your intention, your wisdom, your discernment. We would not be where we are without you, Esther. So thank you for all that you do.
That's kind. Thank you, Maria.
And it's been a fun year. Thank you again, Sophie. And yes, to all the thank yous you already gave. Ditto to those.
Yeah. And I think I just want to jump in, Maria. I just remembered Sophie was working on a QEP article for the Collegian that's going to be coming out. So campus, I just wanted to give you a heads up that in the fall we will be rolling out our new QEP plan. So stay in tune for details on that. You will get to hear more about it hopefully by early August. If not the first couple weeks of school, we will be rolling it out. So stay tuned for the QEP.
Yeah, exciting things behind us, exciting things ahead of us. Good work still to be done. So, Marlon, thank you for joining us on our last show.
Yeah,
thank you
for
giving
me
a face to and your story to, you know, Esther was saying a lot of times we can get caught up in arguments or our opinions. But I think when we sit with a person and we hear a story and we see a face, that changes everything, right? And so I'm really grateful for your story and your perspective. And so, Asbury, thanks for tuning in. Everybody have a great finals week and a good summer, and we'll see you all back here in the fall semester 2019.
Thank you.